Good people, I hope all is well. I come to you today as humbly as I possibly can to share the good news of the gospel. Our Lord and Savior, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My name is Christopher Chris Martin Jr. My folks call me CJ, for Junior. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. Where I was born in DC, Washington, DC, and I was raised in Atlanta, Maryland area. Kind of moved around a little bit, pops was in the military. I moved around quite a bit. I done been lived in West Virginia, Virginia Beach, East Coast, mainly. But from 12 years old, from after 12 years old, I moved to Memphis, Tennessee. So my formative years were basically in Memphis, Tennessee. My mom's from the Bronx, New York, and they met in DC. My dad's from Memphis, Tennessee. This podcast is called I'm Just Like You, Different. Just Like You, Different. I want you guys to know what you guys are getting yourself into when you come and watch this podcast every Sunday. This is a podcast for non-believers and believers to draw you closer to Christ, to not just give you guys words, my words, speak under my own authority. I'm gonna do my best to speak under God's authority, to speak on His authority, what He, His word, the bread. And I'm not just gonna speak. I'm going to actually give you guys experiences, life lessons, wisdom, and spiritual training to equip you for your journey, for you to endure, and for you to live life abundantly to the fullest, like Jesus intended for us to live. You know, the devil, he came to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, God's word, not mine. You hear me saying that a lot. God's word, not mine. But Jesus, He came for us to live and for us to live life abundantly, to the fullest. That's what He wants us to do, that's what He came for. That's what His teachings is for. That's what His word is for. That's what His sacrifice is for, to get us away from sin, to, kill sin so we don't have to be under the law of sin anymore, so we can be reconciled without Creator, without Abba Father, God, Jehovah Jireh. So let's get into it, man. I'm gonna start off, man, with my testimony. I want to start off there because I want to be relatable to you guys. A lot of times people are not able to, relate with the person that is trying to encourage them or whatever it might be, trying to give them this information or that information is just not relatable. And God has put me in experiences where, man, I really haven't met a person that I'm not a relatable to. And just to, like I said, I don't want to speak under my own authority. I want to speak under God's authority. So in the good book, the Holy Bible, it says, and this is 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 22. And this is about serving all men. It says, for thou I am free. I mean, he said, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might be all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, but I may be a partaker of it with you. So with that being said, my discernment from that is, you know, he's talking about how he, you know, basically he was put into a, you know, this is Paul writing. Paul, you know, at first Paul was a persecutor of the Christians. He was actually bringing Christians to jail. And he was good at it. He was good at it. He was actually the top dog in doing it. One of the top dogs in doing it. And you know, he knew the law. He knew the law. You know what I'm saying? He didn't know Jesus Christ, but he knew the law of God, you know, the Old Testament. He knew that, and he said he followed it. You know, as you read, more of his word. He said he followed the law, but he didn't know Christ. But him doing that and him having the life experience that he had, it made him more acceptable, you know, in the eyes of other people. Like, he was more relatable to people because he done been through a lot of experiences. How can he judge somebody when he was the person who wanted to persecute Christians? So this is why I feel like I'm relatable in. You know, he said, what did he say? He said, to the weak, I became as weak that I might win the weak. He said, to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. He said, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it. So it's not to a point where you're like, I'm just going to do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to succumb to the world and try to fit in. No, it's not that. But he's making himself lowly. You know, he's meeting people where they're at, because he knows that's what God wants for him to do, to meet people where they're at, you know, to remember where you came from. You know, to when you try to bring somebody to Christ, you have to show the fruits of the Spirit to do that. The fruits of the Spirit of gentleness, of kindness, of love, of peace, of patience. You have to show those fruits when you're bringing people to Christ. That is the only way that, you know, that is the most acceptable way in the eyes of God, to bring people to God. You know, if you're bringing people to God from a judgmental standpoint, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to work. So, yeah. So, like I said, man, I feel like I relate to this, and I feel like a lot of us relate to this, man. You know, because our experiences are supposed to be, you know, testimonies. Our testimonies are supposed to be given to other people so they can learn from them, you know. So they don't have to make the same mistakes that we made. So with that being said, I'm going to give you guys my testimony so we can be more relatable as we discuss the, you know, the object of this testimony. So me, Chris Martin. Yeah, man. You know, I came from a place of, so we're not going to start all the way from the beginning, you know what I'm saying? We'll get there throughout the, you know, the season. But we're going to start from, you know, after graduating high school, basically. So from there, I went to a school, a college, and it was an all-boy college. I went there, you know, it was the wrong motives of me going there anyway. I went there, you know, basically just to go there with my friends, you know. So me going there, those friends that I went there with, they ended up getting kicked out of school. So it left me there, you know, basically with just alone, basically. You know, anybody ever been to college, you know, on their own and out there in the real world and didn't have parents who, like, you know, was you know, had a silver spoon in their mouth, you know, sort of speak. Just like your first time actually, you know, being on your own. You know, feeling how it feels to go hungry. You know, feeling how it feels to, you know, have to do your own, you know, wash your own clothes, have to, you know, buy your own soap, have to do all those things that you do as a grown person. So yeah, that was, you know, one, that's probably, you know, the start of my struggle, really, my awareness of my struggle. You know, so I went through that process. I was, you know, lonely. I was full of fear. I was full of anxiety. I was full of just fruits of the flesh, man. I was just down and out. I was depressed. You know, even though I fought through and I graduated, I was very much down and out. But you know, and through the process, you know what I'm saying, I was, you know, selling drugs, you know what I'm saying, I was doing that for sure. I was doing that, and, you know, in my time being there, you know, I had no vehicle, and I was very, you know, depressed, so, you know, I really didn't want to go out anyway, but in my time being there, all I can, you know, I kind of always had a relationship with God. I knew who he, you know, I ain't gonna say I knew who he was, but, you know, everybody knows, if we don't know one thing, you know, we know everybody knows God, man. Everybody knows God. So I talked to God. I used to pray to God, even in those rough times. And, you know, to pray to God, and one of my biggest prayers to God was, you know, for a girlfriend. I wanted a girl. That's what I wanted. So, you know, when I got back home, I went to seeking for that girlfriend. Once I graduated, I went to seeking for that. And, I ended up coming across that girl, that woman. And, you know, we're going to get back into this, but let me just say this for the fellas out there, man. Even for, you know, it's for the fellas. You know, women stay, you know what I'm saying, just so y'all can know this as well. Maybe you have sons, you know. But, you know, it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? That's what it says. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? But see, if you look up the word find, find actually means to come across unexpectedly. To come across unexpectedly. That's what find means. Find doesn't mean to search out, to seek out. See, man, we have this, you know, this worldly thinking. If you want a girl, you want a wife, you're going to go out there and look, go out there and see. No, you seek first the kingdom of heaven, of God. You seek first the kingdom of God, then all things else follow. This is what you do. His word, not mine. So that's where I first messed up at. You know, I was seeking. So I sought the girl. I got the girl. I got her, broken and all. Only thing I really had to offer was my physical flesh. You know, that's really all it was. You know. So, you know, with that being said, I poured my brokenness on, you know, onto her. And we went throughout this process. And, a year and a half later, we ended up, you know, bringing a child into this world. My son, Christopher III, you know, man, just turned 9 years old. All glory be to God. Just turned 9, man. He's a very wise kid, man. But, so met this girl, got her pregnant, and I just went to, you know, I was still in a place of being, you know, I was angry, I was depressed, I wasn't alone, but I was lonely, you feel me? I was just still a mess. You know, the girl did not feel me at all, did not feel the void that I needed, because only God can fill that void. You know, And we'll get into this more, but you know, that's why I was just want to know, that's just what you guys to know, that's why I was wrong at, that's why I messed up that. But yeah. So, you know, we done got into physical altercations. Not that I ever balled my fist up and hit her, but you know, it was enough. You know, something that I thought I'd never do, but I did. And yeah, it wasn't good at all. I mean, you know, it was cool, but it was the bare minimum, man. I wasn't equipped to handle it at all. I wasn't equipped to handle a family at all. God was still blessing us, you know what I'm saying? God is still there always, you know, blessing. He's there for the just and the unjust. You know, I had the car, had the woman, the family, the apartment. I felt like I, you know, there was nothing else to life. I had what I needed. And you know, my drive was just down. I didn't want, you know, didn't want anything. My want for life, my desire for life, you know, for more, for God, for anything was like just down. So yeah, that was part of my story. And once I, you know, got into that, you know, man, you know, it was more anger, it was more depression, more fear, more you know, lust, all those things. And then I isolated myself from my family, from my parents, from my friends, because I felt the shame. I felt the shame to be seen. I felt the shame, man. I felt ashamed, I felt weak, I felt not good enough. I felt like nothing I did was good enough. So yeah, man, got to the point where, and I feel like this was the what this was. I feel like, yeah, I definitely feel like this was the final straw and the biggest, you know, my biggest downfall. Masturbation, pornography. Yeah, so I started, you know, I wasn't a big porn guy watching or growing up. You know, actually, you know, I didn't start, I just wasn't a big porn guy growing up, man, at all. I don't think I masturbated to pornography till I was maybe 17 years old. You know, I wasn't a big porn guy. But once I got hooked to it, you know, throughout my early 20s, man, I was hooked on phonics, hooked on it, to the point where, you know, man, I'm staying up in the wee hours of the night. I'm at the door, you know, I'm watching the front door, 'cause I'm thinking the police gonna bust in, man. I'm gonna catch a charge for the way I will beat myself, man. You hear me? Like, for real, yeah, that way, yeah. Yeah. That was a little, you know, to lighten the mood. But it was, yeah, seriously, man. Seriously, I was addicted. I was sick. I had a problem, man. Glory be to God that he restored me from that. But yeah, with that, man, all I feel like I ain't been stating. I had, you know, I you know, my want and my desire and my drive was already down. But with that, it took it out. I had no drive. I had no desire. I had no motivation at all. Like, I didn't want to work. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't neglect my family. I was just, you know, lifeless. I fell into just, all I wanted to do was have sex, watch porn, play video games, watch sports, and that's it. And smoke cigarettes. That's all I wanted to do all day, every day. I had no type of energy for anything. And that's the reason why I feel like, you know, God says, in the Bible, you know what I'm saying, we have all types of sin. But the only sin that you sin against yourself is sexual immorality. 'Cause you know, my discernment from it is because you're depleting your own body. You're sinning against your own self. You're depleting your mind. You're depleting your soul. You're depleting your whole essence, your whole internal being. You're depleting yourself. You're cheating yourself. You're killing yourself. Your motivation, your drive, your all that. You have all these fantasies, you're paranoid, everything. Like, yeah, you're weak. Yeah, it's masturbation. To me, it's like one of the biggest things to our downfall on this earth. Having unmarital sex, period, is one of the biggest downfalls on this earth. But we're going to get into that for sure. Definitely going to get into that. With that being said, like I said, that was the one that took it over the edge. You know, that's when God intervened, though he was always there, like I said, but that's when he intervened on the behalf of, the mother of my child, and she finally got the courage to leave me. And that was like one of the best things that happened to both of us and my son and my life. So, she left. It hurt. It did hurt. But I knew, just me being me, my thinking in that point, like, man, bro, she deserved to leave. Like, it hurt. I cried. I was, heartbroken, if you want to say that. But I was like, man, come on now. I'm not doing anything to, to keep this woman, to keep my family. I'm not doing anything. So, they left. It hurt. When she did leave, though, that's when it started. That's when it took place. So at first, I was still, barely working, still masturbating, still basically doing the same thing. Then I started, working just to, keep the apartment over my head, keep myself afloat. Then I was like, just thinking, man, God is keeping me. Even got to a point where I didn't have the money to keep a job. Right? But it was this program that they're like, pay your rent for like 3 or 4 months. Hey. I know you're like, where that program at, man? Memphis, Tennessee has a lot of things like that. Does anybody know anything about Memphis, Tennessee, man? Memphis, Tennessee, I never say anything bad about Memphis, man. I do my best not to. But let's just say it's different, man. It's tough, man. It's a tough city, man. It can break you or it can make you, man. So, that type of city, and I'm pretty sure there's more cities like that around and more places like that. Memphis had, had special type of organized programs like that, so yeah, they had this assistance program, man, and I was able to keep my apartment, not even working really. And man, I started to just think, like, man, God is just keeping me, man. Like, no matter what I do, where I turn, he is still there for me. So yeah, that was definitely a thought in my head. So I went through that process. And I got to the point where I was like, man, I don't care if I don't see any results. I don't care what happens. I'm gonna work out. It don't matter. I don't care what happens, if it's gonna work out every day. And I was able to do that. And it started like a triggering effect. See, it's also a word in the Bible. It says, don't compare yourself to others, but be complete and be, and I'm paraphrasing, be Be proud of your own work that you put in. And it started triggering the effect. Like, guys, I gotta say, just a side note, man. Like, guys, man, like, men and women, when I say guys, I'm talking about men and women. That's one guys is one of my words, man. But, come on, guys. But yeah. When you build up a habit of constantly doing good, whether that's reading, whether that's working out, whether that's meditating on God's word, whether that's journaling, whether that's going to work every day, whether that's, you know, whatever it is that is a good thing for your spirit, your mind, your emotion, your body, for the people around you, when you build up that, you know, the endurance and the habits of doing those things, it gives you a sense of you're able to get past anything. You're able to do anything. You feel what I'm saying? It gives you a sense. It's like your body has callus. You build up callus. You build up a callus. So that's what I feel like that working out started for me. What it started for me, man. It built up a callus of it's giving me confidence that I can do more. So, yeah, just like having a routine of doing something and sticking with it, man, it builds up your strength, man, your endurance, man, your perseverance, your work ethic. So, yeah, it's a side note. But with that being said, so, yeah, I did that, worked out, started doing that. Then, you know, another thing that made me change, you know, I noticed that, you know, in my babies and the mother of my child home, you know, the environment, the energy, the aura was different there. You know, she was doing good. Her house was blessed. I was just going to say that. There's no other word I can use. It was blessed. And my son was in a good environment. And I was blessed for that. You know, not saying I was cool because I was bitter and hateful and resentful and all that still at this time, for sure. But that made me want more for myself. I'm like, man, I can't have my son. He coming to my spot and it's like, this is, you know, it sucks. No, like, nah, I can't have that. I got to, you know, he got to have both worlds, you know what I'm saying? Got to. So that was another driving point of it. But, so, with that being said, and this is where it gets kind of rough. I went to selling weed. Went to selling, you know, selling weed, man. And this time I was selling weed, man. I was selling weed. I was like a corner boy. I started out like a corner boy, and man, I ended up getting to the point where I had got a whole Mercedes Benz. You know what I'm saying? Mercedes Benz, man. So, you know, they can tell you, like, you know, I was doing good. No job. I had not stopped working for like a whole year, you know, a little longer than that. And, you know, during that process, another testimony within the testimony. So I was, you know, making a serve, and, you know, served went bad. I ended up getting robbed. I knew where the guy. That's why they say, you know, the word says pride comes before destruction. You know, first it was pride. It's pride that I felt. I felt pride. You know, somebody robbed me, he wronged me, so I felt like I had to get back at that person. You know, when revenge is God's alone. You know, revenge is God's alone, not ours, not me and yours. No matter what that person did, revenge is God's alone. If I knew what I knew now, I would have thought about my intentions behind this. My intentions behind this, you know, me being back in that mind frame and just taking myself back. My intentions behind doing what I'm doing was just to prove myself, like, you're not a punk. Like, you can get your, like, you got to get your leg back. They got you messed up. You got to stand up for it. Man, bro, I should have let that go. But, you know, when you're a chosen one by God, man, you know, many are called, few are chosen. All glory be to God, as humble as I possibly can, man. But God chooses us, man. He chooses us. Anybody who this is in His Word, you know, anybody who has Christ within them, who has the Holy Spirit, He was chosen by God. You know, from the beginning He knew us. From the beginning He knew us. No matter what you went through, it all was for you to get to God. So yeah. You know, I got robbed. I knew where the people stayed at. So, you know, me, you know, being in that mind frame that I was in, that prayerful mind frame that I was in, got my gun, went over there solo by myself. And I started shooting at the person, man. Started shooting, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just dead in a dead shootout. And, you know, I'm kind of in open space, you know. He's kind of shielded by cars and whatnot. And, you know, he had like, you know, automatic weapon. And, man, he got the shooting, man. And, you know, I just feel bullets. Like I was like, it was like I was in Iraq, man. Bullets flying, just flying past me. I could feel them. Feel the wind coming past me, man. And, you know, one hit me in my head, right in my head, man. Right up here. If you can see. Got like a dread, a lock missing right there. Hit me in the head. You know, I took off after that. You know, and it didn't really hit me, kind of skinned me on my head, man. Skinned me on my head. And, you know, I was bleeding, so I knew I was hit in some type of way. I'm not going to say that moment right there changed my life. And I was like, you know, I want, you know, follow you for the rest of my life now, and I give my life to you. Thank you, God, for saving me. But like I said, I had a relationship, a knowing of God in some type of way, shape, or form, since I was, you know, since I could remember. You know, my mom was in a church. My grandma, she's a Jehovah's Witness. And I just, you know, like you said, many are called, few are chosen. So yeah, I had that situation, and you know, made me think like, yeah, God had a plan for me. But with that being said, the main thing that made me, like I said, man, like the word says, like God says, what the enemy means for bad, he'll use for your good. See that process of me, you know, working out, of me selling drugs, of me getting the car, you know what I'm saying, of me getting the attention from the women and the men and the clothes and all that, right? It made me want, like, you know, I can't give it justice because we're not in this moment. We're not in that moment right now. You know what I'm saying? We do no rewind and see, you know, my state. And you guys are not me, just like I'm not you. But, like, I was, like, depressed, man. I didn't want anything. Like, I was just depressed. Like I said, that pornography would drain you. That fear would drain you, that hate, that resent, that anger, that stuff would just drain you, man. The devil, them demons, they feed off it, man. They feed off it. So, yeah, I was in a real bad place, man. I just didn't want anything. I was, you know, just satisfied. I was just, like, not willing to move. But, like I said, God will make what the devil meant for your bad, for your good. And I'm not saying God made me do this or whatever, or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? He allows the devil to do what he does. You know what I'm saying? And he's not the one who tempts. He can't tempt anybody. You know what I'm saying? That's the devil. He always gives you a way out. And he gave me that way out for sure. But yeah, that selling drugs and having that type of clout or whatnot, it gave me a, you know, as I, you know, do a, you know, hindsight, and I, you know, go back, do an inventory on my life and in my testimony, it gave me a want, man. It gave me a want for life. It gave me a want for life. gave me a want for life. I wanted more. I wanted to have money in my pocket. I wanted to, you know, to you know, keep myself up. I wanted to, you know, be better. I wanted to keep going, keep moving. I wanted to see what else I can do, I can get. I just wanted more. I just had a desire for life, you know. That's what it did for me. Now, I'm not advising anybody to go sell drugs or do anything like that. No, that is not the way, man. Now, the only thing in the streets is a case, jail, a bullet. And that's it. Jail, a case, and a bullet. Only thing in the streets. And that's the only thing I was catching the whole time I was in the streets. And I went to jail so many times. Got shot in the head, as I just told you guys. And had cases all constantly going. Yeah. It was nothing in the streets for you. Nothing in the streets for you, man. No. It's not the way. Jesus is the only way, man. Only way. So, with that being said, it was part of my testimony, man. And, you know, as I kept on moving down, matriculating down, you know, I got to a point where, you know, I wanted God, man. I wanted God. I knew God was with me. I knew he was with me. I knew he was with me, man. I actually, you know, took some shrooms, and it was just a straight spiritual moment on the shrooms. It was just straight spiritual, me, you know, talking with God, talking, you know, who knows who I was talking with, who knows. But it was, you know, in my mind, it was a spiritual moment. So yeah, I just, you know, got me on the track of seeking him. And the way I went about seeking him, I don't know if that was the best way to seek him, but, you know, it was a way. And like I said, I always believed in Jesus Christ, though. Jesus Christ, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Krishna, but Jesus Christ is who I believed in. So, with that, you know, I got into a point of, you know, reading books, got into a point of, like I said, I was already working out. And, you know, also and through all that, you know, I got diagnosed with pre-diabetes. And, you know, like I said, with the devil meant for your bad, God was saying for your good, you know, like his word says, man. I got diagnosed with pre-diabetes, but it wouldn't, and that wouldn't got me to start eating fruit. You know, still, I mean, start eating healthy, you know, working out, eating healthy. So, yeah, you know, through that process, I did that, started doing that. And then, you know, I started reading books, like I said, and I started meditation. But, you know, this meditation that I was doing, it was more of a, you know, of a secular meditation. You know what I'm saying? When I say secular, I'm talking about a worldly meditation. You know, the meditation of you clearing your mind, right? You know, clearing your mind, emptying your mind, right? That's what I was doing. And it was, you know, it worked for me, you know. Like I said, God was with me, man. The Holy Spirit, at that point, I was saved. Yes, I was saved. Even though I'm still not doing everything right. You know what I'm saying? I do my best to, you know, to be obedient. But at that point, you know, I was saved. The Holy Spirit was definitely within me and he was keeping me. And even though, you know, I was emptying my mind, and not meditating the correct way, you know, my feelings, my perspective, you know, God still made that for my good. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, emptying my mind, you know, it took those things out of my mind, you know, that the world could form me to believe, you know, so I can be filled with his word, with the holy word, with the bread, without weapon, the word. So yeah. So that happened, and I was meditating, and I was reading, and I was working out, and I'm eating fruit, doing all that, right? But then, when you walk with God, like I said, it's a process, man. It's never get stagnant. Like, you can never know God fully. It's never a point where you're like, okay, I got enough of God. No. You can't never know him. His mind is eons. You only be here if you're blessed enough, 100 years, maybe. So as I matured even more in my Christ and my sanctification process, he brought me to the Bible, the Word of God. Actually diving into the Word of God. I started meditating on his word, filling my mind with his word, not emptying my mind, filling my mind with his word, meditating on his promises, for his covenant people. So how I, that it's just the Holy Spirit, what I feel, what I believe, how I know that meditating on the word is better than clearing your mind. And because when I meditated and declared my mind, yes, God was sanctifying me anyway. Like I said, he'll use the devil meant for bad and use it for your good. When you walk according to his purpose, all things are working for your good. Not saying that all things are good, it's all good. But when you walk according to his purpose, it'll work out for your good. Not that it's all good, but it'll work out for your good. So, how I know me being able to experience both, how I know the meditation of filling your mind with the word, renewing your mind, transforming your mind, is the way to go and not emptying your mind, is because I felt more connected to people. Felt more connected. God was the sanctifying me anyway. I had love and whatnot, but it was more of a separation that I had with people when I was emptying my mind. But as I read his word, it's a connection. Love thy neighbor like you love yourself. No greater commandment. And another way that I can tell you, filling your mind with the word is the way to go, is because it, in the Bible, it says pray without ceasing, right? Pray without ceasing, right? It says the devil is, walking around like a lion, ready to see who he can devour, right? When you have the word of God, you're constantly meditating on those words, praying, meditating on it, dwelling on it, on his word, constantly, day in and day out, praying without ceasing, because the devil's not ceasing. It's a difficult thing to do. The road is narrow and difficult. But it's worth it. It's the way to life. The way to destruction is broad. His word is not mine. So that's another way how I know that's the way to go, to fill your mind with his word. And another way, last but not least, so I was reading this book called Outwitting the Devil. Outwitting the Devil. And it had a lot of good gems, had some things in it that I disagreed with. But one of the things that I agreed with the most was in his interview with the devil. He basically, the devil told him one of his cleverest ways of entrapping souls is idleness of the mind. Because you know the battle starts in the mind. It starts in the mind. You know, we'll get more into this as the seasons go, man, for real. But the battle starts in the mind. So, you know, idleness of the mind. Idleness of the mind, which turns into action, is one of the key ways, and you know, from his book, that the devil gets to you. And it made me think, you know, it made me think, man. And my dad told me about thinking, man. I'm just, you know. But yeah, it made me think, you know, correlate to God's word. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It was like idleness of the mind. Emptying your mind. Your mind is empty, the devil jumps in. If you're constantly praying, you know, we're supposed to make every thought obedient to Christ. Every thought obedient to Christ. Imagination obedient to Christ. Paraphrasing the word of God. But that's the word of God. We're made in his image. When the devil tempted Jesus, what did God do? What did Jesus do? God. He defeated him with the word of God. With the word of God, we're made in his image. We're supposed to do the same thing, not be empty-minded. No. The word of God is our weapon. It's our tool against the enemy. His word. We walk, we have the authority, the Holy Spirit within us. We have the authority to step on scorpions, step on serpents. We are more than conquerors. And that authority is the Holy Spirit, is the word of God. That you have to believe. You have to believe. We're using the word of God, his promises. You have to believe. No weapon formed against you should prosper. You are the head and not the tail. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Flee youthful passions. Resist the devil and he will flee. You have to believe these things. But so yeah, idleness of mind gets the devil to jump in, you know, according to his book and according to God. You know, the book, the Bible, you know, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You know, our mind think on heavenly things and not earthly things. So yeah. And just, you know, a side note, I know I said that was the last note, but a side note, David, King David. When kings, you know, the story of King David with Bathsheba. When kings were supposed to be out, you know, fighting wars, David was idle. He was idle. He's still in the castle. His downfall, his one of his greatest downfalls in his legendary reign as king of Israel was idleness. Idleness of mind, not having anything to do. Not having constructive thinking, not ceasing, I mean, not constantly praying, being led by the Holy Spirit. No, he was wondering, his mind was wondering. So his actions end up wondering what he ended up doing. Bathsheba, he ended up taking a man's wife and killing a husband. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Told you guys a little bit about my story, you know, a little bit about my testimony. This podcast is brought to you by Christopher Martin, and it's I'm just like you, different. See, the thing is, you know, holiness is something that's, you know, it's good. You know, when you're holy for God, since God is holy, we should be holy. But that's not what's going to bring people to Christ. It's going to bring people to Christ, which is all our job as believers in Christ, is their love. See, people don't really care how much that you know, but they care how much you care. So, you know, that's why I call this podcast, I'm Just Like You, But Different. Because even though I'm different, that don't make me better. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves will be humble. Let's stay humble, brothers and sisters, man. Next time, man, tune in, man. Christopher Martin, we out. I'm just like you, different, man. We'll be back Sunday.